Good evening, lovelies. Welcome to a special episode of Coffee, Candy, and Creatives. My creative tonight, my teacher tonight, my goddess tonight is the beautiful, passionate, crazy intelligent Miss Opal Lee. At 94 years young, she is determined to see Juneteenth be made a national holiday. She brings awareness to everyone, including Congress and our administration. She tells them that the country needs and wants the unity that the celebration of the abolition of slavery can bring. She is so funny. She's so talented. She's so beautiful. Tonight's episode's a little different. It's a lot special. The format's a little changed. I hope you like it. Grab your cup of coffee or your favorite beverage. Cuddle up with your host pup and Miss Opal Lee and enjoy the show. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Realtor Esther Greaves of Gladheart Realty. Esther has been serving the Kansas City area since 2006. Her areas include South Kansas City, Downtown Kansas City, Leawood, Overland Park, Lee Summit, and Cass County. She's licensed in both Kansas and Missouri. So for all your real estate needs, be sure to contact Esther Greaves at gladheartrealty.com.
If you people will listen to me, from my heart I pray to you that our flag will wave on the brave spring of a boy's back home sea. For I'm American,
Rainbow.
I'm American,
Rainbow.
I'm American, praise the Lord, praise his holy name. When you walk down the street, smiling everyone you, rich or poor, young or old, let this message to you be told. When you work and play and sing, you be proud of your liberty, for we are American.
Rainbow.
We are American.
Rainbow.
We are American.
Praise the Lord. Praise his holy name.
So good to talk to you.
Oh, good. It's going to be good talking to you, too.
Yes, ma'am. I'm Pup. This is Desiree.
And this is Opal.
Hi. Hello, Miss
Opal. Hi, Desiree.
That's it.
Okay. Hey, with your pretty self.
Hi,
Daniela or Danny. This is Miss Opal Lee.
Miss Lee, it's an honor to meet you. How are you?
Real good. And you?
I'm very good. Thank you very much for asking.
All right. Well, this ought to be delightful with all you young folk.
They're in for it.
Oh, boy. I can't wait. Ms. Opal, yeah. it's so wonderful to talk.
And you probably say, is this all it is?
No.
Not at all.
We are prepared. We have questions.
Okay.
I just wanted to start off. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing right this very second. What are we raising awareness for right now?
Well, what we're doing is talking with other Juneteenths, like in Topeka, Kansas, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, because we're going to have a caravan. You know, we've been having big parades, and so the virus has stopped us from that. So last year, I did a 2.5 mile walk from downtown to Will Rogers. And I thought I'd have maybe 25 cars follow me. I had 300. And so we're doing caravans on the 19th of June all over the United States, trying to coordinate them. We'll start at 10. On the West Coast, they'll start at 8. Up in Topeka, it'll be 11. And I don't know what it is on the East Coast, but we're all going to be coordinated and have our caravan that lets people know we want to have Juneteenth as a national holiday.
And it should be.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We're trying to get it all together, and I think it's going to be wonderful. And this year is the first time we're going to have fireworks. Well, it'll be the second time, but I love fireworks. Oh,
that's a festival.
Oh, and that's part of the festival. But, right.
Well, that's great because Desiree is actually in your area. She's in Fort Worth, right, Desi?
Yes, ma'am. I actually reside in the south side of Fort Worth. So,
where?
So You know, like 35 going south before you get to kind of like the Crowley and that area. Yeah, I live right there. I've lived there my whole life.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I'm still here today. Still here today.
Well, we've had Juneteenth all over Fort Worth, the corner of Rosedale and Evans. We've had them downtown at the convention center. We've had them in Sycamore Park. In fact, in Sycamore Park, we had 10,000 people a day for 3 days, 30,000 people at a Juneteenth celebration. I've tried to match that, and I haven't been able to do so all these years, but I keep trying.
That is awesome.
Desi, go ahead with your question. We'll wait for Joe, okay?
Sure. Well, Miss Opal, when I found out that you were located in Fort Worth, I also stumbled across something that I kind of wanted to ask about. It's a little off topic of Juneteenth, but it's something that is, it seems to be very tightly associated with you. And it's about Opal Farms.
Really? I thought you'd never ask. Well, you're going to have to know that we have a food bank. Now, I'm not a part of it now. I'm, what do they call, retired, okay? But we started this food bank, and it is servicing some 500 families a day. And I polled people standing in line to find out if anybody was interested in farming. And 66 people that day said that they'd like to farm. Well, I asked the water district, and they gave me the use of 13 acres of land on the Trinity River. And so we have Opal's Farm. I've been there today. We've got a farm manager. And I'm going to say this because I've heard the young people say it. He's off the chain. Boy, is he something. And he was planting today. We've had some weather that was not very good, and we lost some crops. But he's right now getting stuff together. And before the week's end, he'll be taking food to market. We've got a farmer's market, and he takes produce to the market once a week. So, yes, we've got Opal's Farm, and I am so proud of it.
That is wonderful. Yeah, I was reading about that, and I was pretty excited to hear that existed.
It's walking distance from my house, and it's right on the river. I mean, I can walk. I don't think it's half a mile from my house.
That is wonderful. To circle back around to the Juneteenth, another question that I had for you that I was interested about is your walk from Fort Worth to Washington, D.C. that you did back in 2002. What were some challenges that you faced during that time?
Well, one of the biggest challenges was that we'd had somebody promise an RV so I wouldn't have to go back home or take a motel or something. But what happened was I gathered some people at my church, Baker Chapel African Methodist Episcopal Church, my pastor, County Commissioner Brooks. There was a school board member, and there were other people, the musicians, and we had a little ceremony. And I left the church walking 2.5 miles that afternoon. The next morning, I started where I left off. And so I walked from Fort Worth to Arlington, to Grand Prairie, to Dallas, to Box Springs, to Joppa, before my team says, no, we're not going to do it like that. And that was because we'd been promised that RV. So they said, what I need to do was simply to walk where I was invited and where they had Juneteenth celebrations. So I was invited all over these United States. I mean, I went to Shreveport and Texarkana and Little Rock and Denver, Colorado, Colorado Springs. I went to Madison, Wisconsin. There's another Wisconsin that I was there. I went to Atlanta. I mean, I was all over the place, North of South Carolina. And so I didn't get to Washington doing that 2.5 miles until January 2017. Now, we had asked President Obama to walk with us from the Frederick Douglass House to the Capitol, but he was in Chicago. That didn't happen. I didn't get what I wanted. But I'm going to keep on walking. I'm going to keep on talking until it's made a national holiday.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. I appreciate that and you sharing that with me. Hope that actually clears up my two questions.
All right. Thanks, Nancy. No, get yourself under control, sir. There you go. Miss Opal, this is Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Can't hear you, buddy.
Yeah.
Unmute yourself, son. He's got that quarantine Santa Claus beard.
Okay.
Danny, go ahead with your questions while we wait for Joe.
Okay. No problem. So Miss Opal, once again, Miss Opalie, it's a pleasure. My first question would be, a year ago, tensions were high, passions were high, and there was, you know, protests, walks, all kinds of things. A coworker made me this shirt also because I stand with, you know, Black Lives Matter. My son is half Haitian. So for me to hear my son ask me, Mom, what does this mean for me? He's 10 now. He was 9 back then. For him to ask me, what does this mean for me if I'm half Mexican and half Black? Doesn't that make it harder for me? And for me to sit there and explain to a 9-year-old, I had to inform myself before I sat him down. Uh-huh. Because it's, I want to say, as a mom, it's scary, you know, too.
It is.
Your child be so young and start thinking about, you know, what do I do? What happens then? But my question is really, a year ago, the momentum was up, you know, energy was high, tensions were high, protests, walks, movements all over the place. But now it seems like there's not as much being said or done. Has the momentum been lost or has the media just stopped covering it, making it seem like the momentum has been lost, in your opinion?
Well, we don't feel that the momentum has been lost. In fact, we purposely plan to keep before the public and the Congress that we need Juneteenth as a national holiday. So we're not just having activities on Juneteenth. We've got stuff going all through the year to remind people that Juneteenth needs to be a national holiday. And I've been advocating that we celebrate from the 19th of June to the 4th of July, because we weren't free the 4th of July, 1776. Right. And the momentum's still there. We carried this 1,500,000 signatures to Congress in September, and we proposed taking that many to them again before Juneteenth this year. And we get, it's just like it's snowballing. Mm-hmm. People are beginning to join the bandwagon. And we're going to have a caravan last year because we usually have a big parade and we couldn't because of the virus. We had a caravan. I just assumed we'd have 10, 20 cars to follow me as I walked 2.5 miles. We had 300 cars. And, oh, it was amazing. I was so tired. And so this year, there are Juneteenths that are going to, we're going to do it simultaneously. The people on the West Coast will have their caravan at 8. We'll have ours at 10. There'll be somebody in Philadelphia. Theirs will be at 11. But we'll all start our caravan at the same time. And then they're going to do stuff that tells you what's going on in Texas and California and Philadelphia, you know, interspersed. I'm excited about it. I really am.
It sounds exciting. It does. It really does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much.
Yes.
Hello, everybody. Sorry about all the technical difficulties I've been having. How you doing, Miss Lee?
Real good, sir. Real good. I like that red shirt, bro.
Hey, thank you very much, man. I appreciate it. Appreciate it so very much. Quick question, if it's okay with you. I was thinking, you know, lots of times that when stuff like this happens, you're really doing a good thing. And I'm like humbled even to be invited to something like this.
To follow up on your caravan, is it a caravan through town or is everybody headed somewhere? Are you guys headed to D.C. or?
No, the caravan, each Juneteenth will designate where their caravan starts and stops. And so
Amp up.
Hi. Go ahead with your question for Ms. Lee.
Technical difficulties for me all over the place.
Happens in the best of families, so don't be We've all had them.
I was going to say, you know, when people get to be a certain age, Mr. Williams, they have trouble with technology.
I do. But I've got so many young people that I just turn to one of them in a hurry.
Understandable. Okay, I was thinking that, you know, lots of times you're doing something, you know, important like this, especially because of like minorities, a lot of negative comes out of it from other sides, even, you know, both sides sometimes. How do you think you could put this over as a positive for, you know, everybody involved?
Well, up to this time, Joe, I haven't had any negatives. Now I'm listening for it, you know, and yes, indeed. If I tell you 300 cars followed me Juneteenth, and of course they weren't all Black, you know, which says to me that there are other people listening and beginning to understand and wanting to understand what Juneteenth's all about. And if I could just get them to see that we could work together, that like we do for our Juneteenth, we have so many different parts, the music and the art and the empowering you and the young people from all different nationalities get together and they sing and learn. Mm-hmm. They work a whole week and then they give a concert. Children learn other languages. It's just amazing how they work together that short a time. So why as adult, we can't get rid of the disparities that are plaguing our country? The joblessness, the homelessness, the things that need to be taught in our schools, that's the truth. Healthcare, climate change, all those things need to be addressed and we need to address them together.
Yes, ma'am, that we do. That we do.
So we want people to know that Juneteenth is more than just a festival, and we want them to know it's not just a cotton-picking Texas thing, that because it started in Texas, that's where we want them to know that none of us are free until we're all free, and we're not free yet.
Not quite. We're getting there. Still got a ways to go, though.
Yeah, I just want it to happen in my lifetime.
Oh, it's going to. Keep the faith.
All right. I got a lot of faith. In 94, I got a lot of faith, Joe.
Oh, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that, ma'am. Well, thank you so very much for your answer. I appreciate it.
Juneteenth came from June 19th, 1865, when the Confederate States finally got their act together and joined up with everyone else after the Emancipation Proclamation, right? So when did the Juneteenth start in Texas? What year did that start, the honoring of it?
Well, I guess 66, but when General Gordon Granger came to Galveston, he had some 6,000 or 7,000 Black troops with him. They begin to, well, I know that they begin telling people, I don't know whether some went this way, some went that way, saying that all slaves were free. They had a general order number 3. And so they read it, people. But when the enslaved came in from their labors and they had nailed that to the door of Reedy Chapel African Methodist Episcopal Church, they started celebrating, and we've been celebrating ever since, you know that? And now, celebrations, oh, I love, next to Christmas, Juneteenth comes first, you understand? Because there's always food, and everybody thinks that we only have watermelon and red soda, but we have a hell of a lot more than that. And years ago, there were 2 packing houses in Fort Worth, Armors and Swift. And the people who worked there, those people who owned it, would give them anything and everything for their festival. So there was always the barbecue, the chicken and the lamb and the ham and all the trimmings, the pea, black-eyed peas and sweet potatoes and sweet potato pies and peach cobblers, you know. I get to talking about it and I get hungry. But then there's always been plenty of food. Always people were celebrating the fact that they were free. And again, I feel like we ought to celebrate from the 19th to the 4th.
I agree. Well, Juneteenth became a state holiday in Texas in 1980, and we're in, what, 21? So Have you been involved this entire time for 3 decades?
No, I haven't. And my involvement happened when I got involved in the Tarrant County Black Historical and Genealogical Society. Now, we had celebrated in our home, you know, but there was a group, and it included Marion Jack Jones and Marie Brooks, who was the wife of Dr. Jack Brooks. He's the Reverend Henry Masters, and several others. They had a little nonprofit, and they were going to do Juneteenth, and they were going to parcel the money out to little nonprofits. And they tried. They simply gave it up because putting on a Juneteenth is an astronomical thing, and it takes every dime you can put your hand on and then some. So they finally gave it up. But the Historical Society kept Juneteenth, and I sort of became somebody who was pushing it. And for years now, I've been sure that we had a Juneteenth in Fort Worth. So have I answered the question?
Yes, ma'am. Desi, being a Fort Worth resident, have you noticed these celebrations?
Yes, actually, I have. I've been a Fort Worth resident my whole life, and it has been... I haven't always been able to participate in any of the conventions and things that have occurred, but I have been, it is interesting to me. I didn't know that Texas was one of the states that had it as an actual holiday, even being a Texas resident my whole life. It's so funny. You don't realize in history or in things and in events, you know, what's actually taking place sometimes, which I wish we as a whole world could improve on all of that for a lot of things, but Juneteenth, and I will say I hadn't known my whole life that we've had things. I would say it was been in the last several years that I started observing Fort Worth, most especially it being a big celebration. And so that's been really exciting to see as being a Fort Worth resident myself, you know.
Well, let me say that we are about the business of letting everybody in these United States know about Juneteenth. Now, people think it's a Texas thing because the enslaved in Texas were the last ones to find out they were free. In fact, 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was when they found out they were free. And of course, when they did, they've been celebrating, and we've been celebrating ever since. I love it.
You know, odd question, I think. Is this something you think should be taught in schools now? Not just, you know, celebrated once a year, you know, along with, you know, Martin Luther King Day. We get that. You know, we also get, you know, Cinco de Mayo and all that. But this is something I think that should be, you know, added to, you know, curriculum in schools, period, and that's across the country.
That's what we are trying to do, is to have the schools tell the truth. You know, we've got the schools with civic or geography. Some of their books have slaves picking cotton, and you would think that this was what we enjoyed doing. Well, I picked some cotton, and I know better, you understand. So I'm about the business of having them tell the truth about how the slaves were free, when they were free, what kinds of things they had to go through with. And I'm wanting them to know the truth so that they can, in their own minds, see that this was not kosher, as I'd like to say. So I want them to be able to address the disparities. I keep saying there are so many, and we can together, you know?
I have a question. I don't like to get into politics because they're so divisive, but do you think with this administration, you have a better chance taking your petition in front of Congress?
Oh, yes. In fact, I'm just so sure that it's going to be a national holiday. Now, we were really kind of close because Senator Conyer had called for a vote in the Senate, and there was only one man, a lone person named Ron Johnson, who dissented. Now, Ron Johnson had offered a bill that would have made Juneteenth a holiday instead of Columbus Day, and it didn't pass. And then when this came along, he didn't vote for it. So it never got to the House. We would have been through with this and we'd still be celebrating. But I was at the press club in Washington, the National Press Club. And that very same day, bills were put from the Senate and Sheila Jackson Lee from the House of Representatives. They both put in bills that would make Juneteenth a national holiday. So we up and running again because we had lost that.
When does it go in front of the House again?
Well, right now it's in the House. In February, they're going to get busy bringing it up again. And I'm holding my breath because I'm just so sure this time it's going to pass.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Most definitely.
Oh, no, I was just agreeing with everybody as far as with this administration definitely having a better chance to get something like this through. You know, it's politically a better place right now as far as something like this going on, you know, just because I think and I'm hoping and I'm praying that, you know, the country's finally getting a hint, you know, that, you know, people are generally people. It's not the fact that, you know, I feel that as the Black folks that we matter more than anybody else. I just think it's just about time that they just say that we matter as much, right, that we're the same, that we're not any lower than anybody else.
Everybody's equal.
You know,
well, let me tell you what. I was in Las Vegas and President Biden was in Las Vegas and we ended up at the same place and I must have took his hand. He only had one hand to shake with because I was in his face talking about Juneteenth. I hardly think he's going to forget it, you know? And good. She was in Fort Worth and they had this virtual stuff out in this big field where the chairs were 6 feet apart and all, and the musician, oh, it was fabulous. And so I sent this contribution, you understand. I told him it was the widow's mite. I was sending my money and I want something in return. I want Juneteenth to be a national holiday. So I'm going to remind them of that because I'm going back and get in their face again, you know?
Oh, keep it up. You know, it should be something known, period, you know, that it took that long for everybody to be free. You know, not just a Texas thing, you know, not just a, well, this is it. That's how it happened. And we're really good at glossing over things as far as this country goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it really needs to be known, you know, how important it was as far as the country taking a step in the right direction.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm just an in-your-face person. I don't look like it, but, ooh, I can get close to you and won't let you go. You ask President Obama. I've seen him several times, and some of the bizarre ways I got to him were really something to you need to know, but we ain't talking about Obama.
It's okay. He's still relevant.
I know.
It's all good.
Yeah, it's so funny, and I don't mean funny, humorous. It's funny, strange that like any child in school can tell you, oh yeah, the Emancipation Proclamation, because it's something that they've learned to memorize. And I think there was like a huge misconception that President Lincoln said these words and poof, everyone was free and everything was better. And it's not true. It's like years.
It's not. And I've written a book.
Let me see.
It's called Juneteenth, a Children's Story. Can you see it?
Yes.
Okay. Nice.
And so it's for the children to understand. I don't gloss over things, but I let them know what actually happened. And I tell them I have a set of children that are around me. Mm-hmm. Can you see it?
Ma'am.
Yeah.
I want to interrupt really quickly. You used to be an educator. Yes, ma'am. You were a teacher?
I taught third grade so long, I was beginning to act like the eight-year-old, so they gave me another position. Oh, so the little book goes on to tell them about what the people had to do, and that they weren't happy doing that. And then...
No.
And then I tell them, I explain to them that they were taken from their homes, from their families. And I told them, now your parents may have told you something about slaves in the Bible, but they weren't like these. And then I go on to tell them how they came across all that water and that a whole lot of them didn't make it. And then I say and show them how they had to work without pay and they weren't happy about it. And then I tell them about the president, like President Obama, whose name was Abraham Lincoln and who was the person who did the Emancipation Proclamation and that gave freedom. This tells about how slaves at New Year's watch for freedom. They called it watch night service. And we still do watch night services in our churches. They were told that freedom was coming. And then they were told that freedom didn't come for 2.5 years after that Emancipation Proclamation to the enslaved. And when Gordon Granger came and he nailed that General Order Number 3 to the door of what's now Reedy Chapel African Methodist Episcopal Church, and somebody read that to the enslaved when they came from work, we started celebrating, and we've been celebrating ever since. Let me show you the celebration.
And the book is available on Amazon.
This is what people, how they felt when they first heard about it, you know? Oh, wow. Where then they were able, they dressed to the nines. They put on their best clothes. They'd gotten a park in a year's time. And everybody celebrated Juneteenth. That's what they begin to call it. And so that's about the end of it. But this, I don't think the children are too young to learn, do you?
Not at all.
Not even.
Okay.
Let me get that book for my daughter. She loves learning stuff like that.
All right. I think it's on Amazon. Yeah. Juneteenth, a children's story. And there's another one for the upper kids that a Dr. Charles Taylor did a long time ago. Upper grade kids ought to be able to find Juneteenth, a celebration of freedom.
I was going to say, I'm on it. Your son is 10, right?
Yeah.
You would be okay with him reading that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think he would. He likes to learn a lot about both sides, and I like to keep him informed both of. So, you know, obviously he's born with the Mexican side of everything, from the food to the culture to the music. But I like to also keep him informed about his other side because he's half Haitian. So anytime that he'll ask me things, if I don't know the answer, Google does. So we'll Google it. I'll ask my friend who's also Haitian. He's interested in learning how to speak Creole, and I keep him open to learning about anything and everything. Because if he can learn about anime, that's Japanese, of course he can learn about his other half, you know? And I want to keep him informed, and I learn along with him. So this is definitely a book that he would enjoy. I'm actually looking it up right now on my, putting it on my cart.
Okay. I keep telling people, if people were taught to hate, they can be taught to love. Mm-hmm. And I insist that each of us should be one, make ourselves a committee of one, because we know people who are not on the same page with us, and we can change their minds. I know we can. And that's what I advocate. And just think, if each one of us would teach one, oh, how soon we could get over the disparities that we have.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to misinformation and non-education.
Yep.
Yes. You know. And I can speak to that. I can agree to that, Joe. Like when I was going to public school, I eventually was homeschooled because schooling was so rough in some cases for me. But when I was in public school, there was in the schools that I went to, being very low income schools, they picked and choose what they taught you, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the reasons why my parents offered homeschooling for me, was so that I could learn more, be exposed to more, have an open book for knowledge. Mm-hmm. And knowing now that Miss Lee, that you have, or that you have a book, and there's another book out there that is gonna, it's so encouraging to know that, because I know people, I know children that I can now be like, you know, this is important. This needs to be shared. This needs mm-hmm. to be, this needs to be known. And I think so many problems for people across the board of everyone is ignorance and lack of education, just being unaware of things. Yes. And it's such a serious problem. If we can just get it out there and get it known and get it shared.
Well, I'm going to keep on walking. I'm going to keep on talking until we actually have us a national holiday. I am adamant that we can do this, and I don't plan to stop until it's done.
It would be an interesting social experiment to go out, say, to the mall or to out in public and ask, you know, 10 to 20 people if they know what Juneteenth is. Isn't that sad? But an interesting social
experiment. It's kind of scary because I think it'd be a real low number.
And that's sad, but true.
I think it ought to have something to do with the test that they have to pass. You know, I don't know whether it's a school test or when you go get your driver's license or wherever, but you ought to be able to be asked the question, do you know anything about Juneteenth? Ooh, let me tell you then. So if it was left to me, everybody would know something about Juneteenth.
It is up to you.
I guess I got lucky and cursed growing up military because I've seen both sides of the fence, you know, being able to go to really good schools and really bad schools, you know, but generally growing up, you know, I was coming up in school, they were more into the hows and whys, not just pumping out dates so they can get you out of there.
Right.
Blessed with the parents that I have, you know, my father, God bless his soul. He wanted to learn everything and he always pushed that on me and my brother. You know, I got questions. Here's an encyclopedia. Look it up. You know, definitely pre-YouTube and pre, you know, Google.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it was always, you know, if it's something you wanted to know, he didn't know it. We'd sit down, look at the encyclopedia. You know, it was always about the hows and whys, not just a date we can pump out in 5 minutes. You know, I think that's something we really need to go back to as far as, you know, educating our kids now. It's not just, okay, 1776, this is when, you know, America became America, woohoo. You know, there needs to be more, okay, this is why we did what we did. You know, this is why the slaves were freed. This is why Juneteenth is important. You know, this is, you know, why Nixon was fired. You know, all of that needs to be taught, you know, because sadly nowadays we're repeating everything that happened.
Right. Well, and also part of the problem is constraints, and we really need to look at the textbooks that our kids are using in school, and a lot of them are 50 years old or they're mm-hmm. 20 years old, and the thought processes of that time are no longer applicable to current events and what our children need to be learning.
Mm-hmm. So, oh yeah, it's the truth.
We really need to look at that.
I think to a point, education should be standardized to a point, not necessarily to make it bad, but to be sure that everybody's learning the same thing. No, everybody needs to be educated about the same thing.
Right. Well, Danny's from New England.
Desi's- I was going to say, living up north, I actually had never heard of Juneteenth, and I actually had not learned what Juneteenth was until, I want to say, not going to lie to you, maybe 4 years ago living down here. But mm-hmm. the fact that all the years I spent, because the school system I was in was a good school system, but like we're saying, we got textbooks that are old that are only telling you what they want you to know. It's not telling you the truth like Miss Lee wants to teach in her book. They're just giving us like, well, this happened, that happened, that happened, the end. And as long as you pass, that's all they care about. You pass that test, go on to the next grade, repeats itself. And you only learn about certain things if you have like a book project or a certain project where you have to pick a topic. That is the only way you go really deep into a topic. But I had never heard of Juneteenth until I lived down south. So
I didn't learn about it until
closer to Texas, you know, to learn about it. Like, why isn't it more widespread? Of course, now it is, because thankfully now it's getting out more. But I had never heard about it while I was in school up north.
Would you believe that now 47 states and countries outside of the United States are celebrating Juneteenth? And the other thing I want to mention before I forget it is that there was an Underground Railroad that Harriet Tubman and the others, and you should know about the railroad. It wasn't like a train. It was people who went and brought other people, and there were way stations where they stopped, and then they got them all the way to Canada. People aren't aware that there was a Southern Railroad that went to Mexico, because Mexico had already freed their slaves. And if you could get there, my dilemma right now is we've got the largest stature of Sam Houston going from on the highway, going from Fort Worth to Houston, Texas. And he was a slaveholder, and he had slaves to run away to Mexico. Do you know he followed them down there? He didn't. We wasn't
able to get them back.
My dilemma is this. You've got the founding fathers who had slaves, and we revere the founding fathers. How do we justify knowing that they had slaves? And I'm saying, and I don't know how many people are going to agree with me, that all of us have good and bad in us. And that was the bad in
me. This is a situation we do all have good and bad. But again, it comes down to, again, education and saying, look, yeah, they did good in trying to create the country. But at the same time, they did do things that were wrong. They did do things that were not agreeable to what they were trying to do. A lot of people don't want to hear that.
Yep. And so they've got, if they're Christians, they certainly know that forgiveness is at the top of the list for what we should be about.
Yes, you're so right, Miss Lee. And I just want to chime in on something that, you know, in reading about the things that you've done and kind of the progression you've made and the impact you've made up to this point, I see, and maybe it's the hopeful, optimistic side of me, but I see it like when this becomes a national recognized holiday, I see so much change that is going to come with this in our education system, because it has to. It just has to. Like, it might be a state recognized holiday for some, but when it becomes national, that's like that next level. That's that next tier. And when that happens, I have hope. I'm going to hold on to my faith and my hope in this too, that is going to be the thing that flips the books for us with our education, because we need the new generations that are coming up to know the truth, to know, to understand it, not just hear it, read it in a why. Right. And
You know, something like that'll be Martin Luther King level educational change. You know, up until Luther King's day was, you know, birthday was made a national holiday, they just knew, okay, this is what he was, this is who he was. Now, once it became a national holiday, now you have to learn about it. Now you have to learn the history behind him. You know, so when this does happen, it will definitely be a Martin Luther King level thing that's necessary to take the country to the next step.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that we have to have it that way, but it's almost like it boils down to like the stubbornness, I think, of mankind as a whole. But at the same time, once it gets there, it's like, yes, you know, it just sucks that that has to be the process. It's like, none of this should have to be the process, but it is. And it's amazing that we have people like Miss Lee taking the lead in this. And then we are here, supporters and followers. And I cannot wait.
You know, generally, people in power get drugged into the future, kicking and screaming.
Well, they're doing some good kicking and screaming, because the big companies are already giving their employees the day off, something they weren't doing, you know, with pay. So I'm optimistic about them. I am. And listen, I'm getting ready to do a holy dance at the time when I find out that it is a holiday. I don't know if they're going to record it, but I'm going to be the happiest somebody in these whole United States. I am.
Well, I clap and cry a lot because y'all don't want to see me dancing. That's a bad idea.
I can verify that is a very bad idea. Think about bringing this national recognition to it is it's going to prompt full textbook revision. And I would propose that not only should there be a unilateral, the same American history book should be used in every state and every
Well, it's beyond necessary. You know, again, traveling from being in the military, there's no reason my book in Texas should be any different than my book in California, which is any different than my book in Virginia, which is different than my book in Hawaii.
Right, but I would go one step further, Joe. I would go one step further. I would say there should be the same American history book for every state and province. However, each individual state, I would say there should be a second history class that every child must take, whether it's middle school or high school, mandatory state history.
Yeah, of course. I don't see any, no issues with that.
Well, what do we know about Florida?
So Seminole Indians are awesome.
We have the Everglades, we know about that, but yeah.
Disney.
So I think you're right, I think it's education. And I think that this becoming a national holiday will bring that recognition that brings the change. It might be over time, but I think it'll prompt a change.
Well, I think this will prompt a change all over.
Right.
You know, not just historical, but I think it'll be national, it'll be political, it'll be social, it'll prompt a change all over.
Yep.
You know,
when it changes on the calendar, when it changes on the calendar, we've got it made.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep. Because now everybody's got to pay attention to it.
Yeah. We got to wrap up, you guys. It's been so much fun. Anybody have any final thoughts for Ms. Lee?
No, I'm happy to be able to talk to her. I mean, this is great.
Go ahead, Danny.
You know, I appreciate her taking her time with us.
Absolutely. You know, we're honored.
You know, educating me.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Danny.
I'm trying to find the words to how to express it because it's just, it's a lot. It's gratitude. It's been an honor. And I want to thank Pat for including me. Thank you so much. But Miss Lee, what would you give? What advice would you give, just overall, to the next generation, and how and what we can do to educate the generation following us to keep your movement going? Because it doesn't stop at Juneteenth, like you said, we're not free until we're all free. What would you say? What advice would you give the following generations? You know, to keep it going.
First, the young people are going to have to help us get it, make it a national holiday, and they can go to OpalsWalkToDC.com and find the link and sign the petition so that we can take another 1,500,000 signatures to Congress. And if the youngsters will understand that it's their responsibility, like it's our responsibility to help each other. It's, you know, you don't have to take somebody into your home, but you need to be able to show them how to get a decent place to stay. You need to help that man find food. You need to be able to share the resources you have so that we'll all be on an even plane. I do feel like when we are, we're not gonna have so many people in prison, you know? We're not going to have people who are sick and dying because we have helped our neighbor. And I think as Christians, that's what we've been taught all our lives, that we are our brother's keeper. And I want them to know that I, for one, expect them to be that brother's keeper.
You know, pay it forward.
Yep.
If we're winning and we can share the wealth with somebody else, we're all winning.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
You know, got to be there for the ones that don't have what you have.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm rubbing three nickels together now instead of two. And gee, just think of all the years I only had the two. So I'm still able to take food to people who are bedridden and people who are in wheelchairs and who can't stay in the lines. I take 10 boxes the first of the month and 10 boxes the 15th of the month to those who can't go get it themselves. And that's a little thing I can do. I'm not even driving these days because of the cotton picking cataract, but I get it to them.
Little things add up fast.
They do.
You're doing good work, Ms. Lee.
Thank you.
It's been been such a pleasure and an honor to speak with you, and you've educated us so much tonight.
Well, call on me anytime, because I got 1619. That's when the very first enslaved people came to the United States, and I'd like to tell you that story.
We're gonna have a part two.
I'm good
two.
For it.
Good. This was fun.
Keep my calendar open, wide open. If it's to talk to you, anytime.
Yes, same.
I'm down. Give me a phone call. I'm good.
I'm gonna send Joe to Fort Worth so he can help you give out that food. He's big. You can't tell, but he's very, very big. He's like 6'7".
Desiree, if all of you were in Fort Worth. But I'm going to say to Desiree, come see the farm.
Yes,
it's just like I say, it's walking distance from my house, and it's 5 minutes from downtown on the Trinity River. And you could be a volunteer.
I would love that. I would love that. And I looked up how far it was from my house. It's 10 minutes from my house. So,
all right. Let me know when you're going to be there. Maybe I can scoot down there too.
That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful.
You guys, it's been an honor and a pleasure, and it was so much fun. We'll have to do it again.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, definitely.
Anytime you want to, because you can see the old lady's got a whole lot she wants to pass on to you young people. And yes, all of you are young people if you're not 94.
If you're setting it down, we're picking it up.
Yep. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm 53. I feel my age some days.
No. You're a youngster. You're a youngster. My oldest is 76. So he's a baby. He's a baby.
I don't feel like it sometimes.
It's been so much fun. I'll talk to you guys a little bit later on. And Ms. Lee, it's been an honor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye now.
Bye, everyone.
You have a good day, Ms. Lee. Thank you.
Okay. Again.